So we're starting a new nativ after finishing nativ haosher, where we're talking a lot about wealth and not chasing after stuff, and very much the mitad ha'istapkut, where a person is happy with his lot. We're talking a lot about Avraham, who has the person who's mistapek, who won't take money from Sodom, because he really wants to be a person who what he has is his handiwork, right? Gadol ha'nehena mi'agia kapav. Right, sure. How great is a person who's able to enjoy his own labor, and within that realm of Avraham, of the Mistapek, and the Telech Lefanai V'yetamim, we're going to go over to Nativa Tmimut. And as always, the Maharal is going to open with a pasuk from Mishlei in order to frame this Nativ. And it says in Sefer Mishlei, Ki Yesharim Yishchenu Aretz, Utmimim yaturu ba. The Rasha'im me'eretz yikaretu ubogdim yischu mimeno.
Right? You said it wrong. I'm spazzing.
Ki yesharim yishchenu aretz. Those who are yashar, those who are straightforward, will dwell in the land. V'tmimim, right? Yoturu ba. They'll be left here even after, right? They'll be left post universe, if you may. Verashaim eretz ikaretu, and the wicked will be cut off from the land. Ubogdim, right? The bogdim yischu mimeno. They will be right? From the word sach, from the word like they will be gone. They will be dissolved. They will dissolve, right? So you have this contrast here of yesharim and tmimim with Rasha'im and bogdim, right? You have the papers over there if you want to grab them. So let's see what let's open this up. Shlomo HaMelech alav shalom ba levaer ma'alat hayosher u'ma'alat ha'tmimut. Right, so very much connecting the yashar and the tamim. Ve'efresh asher sham ben shtei hamidot halalu ki bechol makom nizkar beyachad kedechtiv tom ve'yosher hitzaruni shomer tam ve'ere yashar. Thanks. So the Yesharim and the Tmimim go together. We see this from Psukim, and we see this from Shlomo understanding them together, even though he does differentiate them, but very much about they're both the tamimim and the yesharim are talking about people who are within their world, right? Within their right, they're not leaving what is true. And in contrast, very much with the yishkenu aretz and the reshaim yichartu from the aretz, right? Right? Meaning the question of the tamim versus the question of the rasha, right? The rasha is like, right, does everything belong to me, or do I belong to all, right? The Rasha, everything belongs to him.
So
right?
What you expect.
Right, exactly. What? Going back to the Gehenom, Gechinam, versus the Gan Eden, the emerging from the garden. Am I part of this growing process? Am I Adam min ha'adama? I came from the ground, I'm sprouting from the ground, or am I the humanism who's walking all over the earth, right? Right? And that's what we say in davening. Let me be like the earth that gets trampled upon and says nothing, because it knows that it's just a matter of time until you're back underneath, right? Until you are nichratu min haaretz ubogdim yischu mimeno. Right? They're gone. Right? So are you living a life where you are part of reality? Are you the yesharim, the people who are yeshar? Right? They're straight. They're not trying to manipulate things. They're not trying to go around. They're just being straightforward. They're yishchenu. They become the shochein. They become dwellers within the land because they're not trying to control. Exactly. Utmimim yotruba. Right. They will be left here. Right. They'll have furthermore. Right. Because they're not trying to take. They're not trying to take. Right. They're just trying to be. Not trying to be within.
It's reminiscent of, Viktor Frankl, the Man's Search for Meaning. He says one of the most famous lines in the entire book is that it's not what life, it's
Have
not
you
what you
book?
Expect from life, but from what life expects from you. It's the opposite. And for me, that was a very comforting thought almost. Because it's like you're spending your whole day thinking about what you want and like what, you know, how you're supposed to do this, that, and the other. And really, you just have to be quiet for a second and things will tell you what you're supposed to do.
Right, and in a deep way, that's our whole concept of our emunah in Havaya.
Right.
Right. We believe in Havaya. We believe that we are from within the existence and we are on constantly in relationship with the Creator, with existence, because we're not outside of the world, we're rather within the world, right? When we really reach our potential, we become Yashar El, right? Yisrael, Yashar El, we have to be Yesharim, right? But we're going to see that. Okay, Vayefresh asher b'nehem ki ha-yashar mitzat sichlo v'chochmato mitbonen la'asot ha-yashar, right? The Yashar, he's going with his brain and saying, what is the right way, right? Yashar is based on perspective. How do I know what straight is? Whatever I'm looking at, right? I am going with my brain. I'm saying this is straight. And I'm being, be straightforward with me. I am being straightforward, right? There's a constant understanding of what straightforward. Hatamim hu sheolech baderech hayashar me'atzmo mibli shum itbonenut rak olech bedarko betmimut. The yashar, he sees what's true and goes with it. The tamim, he doesn't even think about what's true. He just intuitively knows. He doesn't think about it, okay? There's something just genuinely happening. So the Yashar is a person who thought it through, and the Tamim is a person who just, he's not even thinking about it because he's so connected to it that it just seems
flow.
Yashar. V'Yaakov haya lo shtei midot, shu nikra Yaakov, ish tam, v'ha nikra Yeshurun gamken. Right, Yaakov has two ways. What? We say...
V'nei Yeshurun.
Yeah, no, yeah, also, yeah, but that's lo yashut lo what's the pasuk? Lo yamush melech Yisrael u'mechokek mi ben raglav. There's a few places that is called Yeshurun, but the idea is that the Yaakov is also Ishtam. He's also when he's Yaakov, he gets to be the Ishtam. He's also called Yeshurun. He's also called Yisrael, the Yashar El, right? The regarding of. I thought it over, and now I know this is the right way. But the Tamim, it's an internal connection, right? And Yaakov is what makes Yaakov Ish Tam. He's not trying to make the world fit his narrative, right? He's contrasted with Esav. Esav, Mister, I'm going to make things work my way, right? I'm going to make sure that things are within my realm of understanding. But that's not Yaakov. Yaakov is very much a person who's like whatever seems right, I'm doing. Whatever seems real, I'm connected to. I'm not trying to manipulate the world. I'm not trying to change things so they work for me. Right? So going back to the pasuk in Tehillim that the Maharal is quoting, Tom veYosher Yitzaruni, right? The Tom, right? The Tmimus, the not trying to manipulate, not trying to change the reality, veYosher, and being just straightforward and honest. Like, why do you care to be honest? Well, I might lose something by being straightforward and honest. Don't you get it? You're never losing anything by being honest. You're only losing by not being honest. You're only losing by trying to hold your cards so you're not being taken advantage of. But who's taking advantage of you? The only person who's taking advantage is the manipulator. You know what's going to happen to the manipulator? He himself will be manipulated. So it's just a matter of time.
Patience.
Right? The Resha'im Eretz Ikaretu, they will be cut off, because the land will not take them, because the land is the ground existence. Yaakov, Avram Avinu, he is ground existence, as he says in this week's parsha. Anochi Afar Ve'efer, I'm the ground existence. I'm not trying to be anything that I'm not. I'm just the ground. Literally, just I'm that. That's why I'm coming to you, not because I am anything, because I am the ground existence. I am the fabric which is what the world. I'm letting the world become and be created and evolve in front of my eyes.
We get a little break.
What?
One more for good.
Go.
Yeah, I'm gonna get water also. I'm not
right. Right. So, the idea is like this: is that there's the Tamim. The Tamim and the Yashar are people who are not trying to manipulate reality, not trying to be crooked. While the Rishayim, right, as they brought down in Chazal, that Rasha comes from the root of from the acronym Ratzon Shel Atzmo. He does his own will. He does whatever works for him, right? And also the Ra in Hebrew comes from the word Lihitro Ea, right? When things are shaky, when things aren't when they don't have a strong foundation, and they're Ra, right? And the bogade, is not only comes from the word beged, which is the first barrier that you put up, the first initial, you know, begadim, clothes, the garbs that are telling you to not be honest, right? That's why the pashut, leit pashet in Hebrew, is to be pashut, is to take off your clothes, to unrobe, to be simple, to be vulnerable, to be who I am, to be honest. Don't be bogeid, right? Don't have begadim.
On the other hand, like, clothes also can influence the way you think in good ways.
As long as you know that they're just clothes, right? As long as you know that at the end of the day, that's not the real you. It's just an expression of you. It's
right.
A levush.
Right.
It's a levush. It's a garment.
Say that you
right?
are your clothes.
Right. No, you're right. They're an extension of you. As long separate. Right. As right. And that's why vayarechet reach begadav. He smells. Yitzchak smells Yaakov clothes. Vayarechet reach begadav. Vehine reach bni kereach asade. I don't get it. If you're smelling his begadim, you should say reach bigdei bni. No, vayarechet begadav. Vehine reach bni kereach asade. Right? I can smell that my son is my actual son. Right? So the nekuda of the begadim of the bogdim, the trash people who are boged, who are against the honesty. Right? They're not being honest. They're being dishonest. The person who's a boged, he's not being true to himself. He's not being true to where he grew up, to who he's who birthed him. You know, the country that gave him what they gave him. Right? And your clothes there. They only after Adam and Chava eat from the tree of knowledge, then they felt naked, and they put on clothes. Because they don't want to be exploited, right? He's boshashu. But if somebody sees me, he's going to take advantage of me. I need to put on clothes. I need to put on clothes to make sure that people know who I am. I dress like an aristocrat so people know who you are, right? If you're not dressed the parts, then who knows if people are going to give you the right, you know, criteria. The begadim, instead of being straightforward and pashat and tamim, they're actually making you act a certain way that maybe it's who you want to be, maybe it's fake it till you make it, but till now it's not genuine. Now, if a person is only wearing clothes in order to make him act a certain way, his genuineness should portray that, right? Where he's not chas v'shalom confusing himself. Right? There's a very, very famous story about Reb Simcha Bunim Reb Shischa. He said the story, but he was giving very harif musar, and you can hear through the lines. There was a very drunk person on the side of the road. He's been drunk for a few months now. He's like, a guy's constantly drunk.
A
few months. He's just lying on the side of the road, drinking and passing out.
He's a college student.
And this really rich person. This really rich person. He says, "Oh, I'm gonna. Let me see if I can. Let me do a social test." And he takes this passed out person, and he brings him home and tells his slaves to like clean him really, really well and take clothes measurements and you make fix him up and dress him like a priest, and he like builds like a little church in his house, and he sits the priest in the priest chair, and this drunkard wakes up.
It's a little chair next to the cross.
And he looks at himself, and he sees a priest, and he goes, "Wait, I remember myself as a drunk." And he goes, "Wait, am I a drunk or am I a priest who remembers all them as a drunk? Or am I a drunk who thinks he's a priest? What am I?" And he's thinking there, and people are coming in and saying, "Father, Father, can I confess?" And he's like, "Well, look, everybody's treating me like a priest. How do I know what's real? How do I know if I'm a drunk or if I'm a priest? How do I know if this is Emes?" And he says, I know what I'll do. I'll give a sermon. If people like it, then I'm a priest. And if they don't, then I'm not." So he stands up there, and he starts talking about, you know, repentance and how, you know, sometimes you're like, you're for a few months, you're static, you're just lying on the floor, you can't do anything, your life is totally nonsense, and you have to like fix yourself up and put on, you know, the right garb and be who you, and everybody comes after him and goes, "That was so uplifting," and he goes, I'm a priest, my mind's playing tricks on me that I'm a drunk. And he keeps sitting there and like by himself, and he goes, "No, I'm at."
Because story, it takes so long.
I know it's not true. I know I'm a real drunk. I know I'm not really a priest. And he goes, "I have a test. I'll open up the books, and I'll read. If I can read from the text, the ancient text, then I'm a priest and I'm not a drunk. But if not, I'm a drunk." He opens up the text and he can't read, and he goes, "I'm a drunk." He goes, "It's fine. Most of the priests can't read anyway." As long as I can, it looks like I can read. All right, Reb Simcha Bunim was obviously giving Harif Musar to all these quote-unquote rabbis, admorim, rebbes, who are just because they dress, the Hasidim come and put a shtreimel on their head and tell them they're the rebbe, and tell them to give drush. Not a rebbe. A rebbe is a rebbe. Not some guy off the street that people put on clothes and told him that you're the rebbe, and people are walking up to him and going, wow, that's beautiful speech. You really awakened us. Huh? Yeah, the begadim there, begadim can be bogdim. But the tamim, can't fool him. He knows what's real. Take off the clothes. Who are you? Take off your persona. Take off your desire to manipulate the situation. Who are you, Be'emes? Who are you? The tamim is never questioning who he is.
Why? Meaning, what do you do with that? Meaning, you say, okay, who am I, Be'emes? But how is that relevant in the larger context of you transforming yourself into someone who you want to be? So I could, this is a good example. Not me personally, but someone say, I want to, I want to get in shape. So I'm going to go to the gym all the time, blah, blah, blah. But like, really, I'm a lazy bum who likes to sit on the couch, watch TV, and eat Cheetos. But who are you really? Okay, so it doesn't matter who you are really, because at the end of the day, like, you're the guy that's going to go to the gym, and maybe that's who you will become, and that's probably better than who you were before. So fine, I agree that, like, when you go to the gym, maybe that's not your real, you know, who you are, your real essence, but it's like irrelevant. Like, I don't really care if you're the kind of guy that sits on the couch and watches TV, because you're at the gym, that's a habit of yours now, and now you're fit.
I think the going to the gym and the stature of being fit is part of the begadim, right? For there to be a fitness, for you see, the real you doesn't need parameters to know who they are, right?
But you can go.
Right, it's not about if you're going to the gym or you're sitting at home. It's about what kind of a person are you?
I understand. But
are you a TV bum that's in the gym, or are you an athlete,
right,
that's
so
watching
you're a
TV?
TV bum in the gym,
then you're a TV. No, of course not.
How do you know?
Because so first of all, I think the answer is only time, right? The beauty of our archetypes in the Torah is that they're not perfect. On the contrary, all our avos makes these mistakes. Yeah, so do we have Chazal who's trying to like cover up their mistakes? But that's the whole beauty of them, is they're not perfect.
But what's the point?
They're not
the
perfect.
Question? The question is...
See, Avram Avinu...
Really?
Who's Avram Avinu really?
And who's asking?
Who's Avram Avinu really?
Son of an idol worshiper.
Huh? Well, the question is, who's Avram Avinu really? It boils down to the question of, are you a person that... If you're a person that's preaching God all the day because it works for you, what happens when it doesn't work for you? What happens when God tells you to kill your kid? What do you do then? Who are you then?
But
right?
each thing right? is going to make create an ultimatum.
Right? Right. No, it's not an ultimatum. Each thing is going to move the needle a little bit in shaping who you are.
But given whatever, let's say the gym analogy, you're going to be hyper aware of the challenges that are going to be the nafgamina between who you really are and not, and you're only going to continuously go through the next step until you...
Then you're still not the tamim. Then you might be a yashar, right? The yashar who's saying, okay, this works out. This is the right way to go. If I work out, I'll be healthy. Being
right,
healthy
if
is
I
good.
Work out, if I'm working out
but
for the right reasons, I'm doing cardio, let's say.
Yeah, then you might be a yashar. Then you might be a yashar. You might be a yashar because you're working to get there.
Right.
But the tamim, it's not about being a yasha.
So, but it's not
the
about
tamim,
what other people think about you as much as you knowing the truth about
oh,
yourself.
Oh, of course not. That's the whole idea of bogdim, is that when you're truly alone, you take off your clothes, right?
But do you?
Right. And that's why in accordance to halacha, and according to halacha, when you're having sex, you need to be naked. You need to be naked. You need to take off all your garments. This is the moment. This is the moment where you're really you, in all your flaws. With somebody who can be there with you in your imperfection, but in your simplicity.
Why is who I am versus what I do relevant to other people?
It's not relevant to other people, it's relevant to you.
Right, so it is about you. It's not about other people, it is about you. And you just said, no, you take off your clothes when you're by yourself.
That's what I said. So you take off your clothes.
So you don't
right?
care about that, you're not evaluating
right.
who you are. Because
when you go outside and you're going to a business meeting, you're putting on the suit and the tie and this and that. When you're at home, you're at home.
Right.
You don't need to impress anybody. But the true Tamim, he doesn't care. The true Tamim doesn't change his clothes when he gets home into more comfortable clothes because he was always in comfortable clothes.
Right.
Whatever he's wearing, he's comfortable. Right? He's always happy because he's never putting on a show. He's never trying to be presentable. He's always trying to be meaningful, to be part of the garden. Right? So I don't care if this tomato is good or tasty or not. It's mine. I grew it. I love it. Right? I picked these apples. They're valuable. have a connection with them. I didn't just buy them off the shelf and throw them out when they're rotten. I have a true connection with something, and I'm not trying to manipulate the situation. So the continues the Maharal and says, "Ki advarim shel atzmo hu noheg betmimut de'ano davar shu magia el atzmo." Right? The thing, the tamim, it's always what does it mean to me? How am I connecting to it? Right? Is it meaningful or is it meaningless? Darim magim el acherim beze eno ra'uy atmimut. Therefore, tamim can never be okay. What's meaningful for you? Because it's not about you. I'm not. I can't relate to you. I could be like, listen, you know, this is not good for you. That's the yasher. Right? Be honest. Be straightforward. You know this is not good for you. But I can't tell you be a simpleton, and know that no, because once you're simplified, once you're in the simple stage, it's never a measurement of external, because tamim is shalem. I am internally connected. I don't need the external bogdin or the rasha, right? Right? The shaar, the gate that I need things to go through in order for me to be valued. It's very much an internal conversation. Right?
It's saying,
right? And the yashar, he's okay, what works? What is? But the tamim, it's not about, let me think about it. The tamim is it, does it work or not? Is it real or not? Does it connect to me or not? Right? Forget about what other people are saying. Forget about what the world is saying. Do I enjoy this? Is this fun? Is this good? Does it feel good? Is it real? We live in a world where everything's
feel
fake.
Right. Not to be like semantic,
but
the whole idea of feeling, like, does this feel good, is again a level of hyper awareness.
Right, but I think the shallow level of does this feel good. You're right. That's the rasha, like, right? That ratzon shalatz me.
Like,
right.
Is
right.
What you're talking
right.
About.
Right. But when we're talking about this connection of is this real? Is this real? Not in the section. Not on the level of neurons that are firing off in my head because they've been wired together by you know nature and nurture.
Right.
But is this like push it? Right. Can I enjoy this in the most simple form, or do I need it to be, you know, in a way that works for me? Right? That's the yasher. Umikol makom shtei amidot kasher hu eino sar min hayosher ve'ra'uy chad mitzat atzmo v'tmimut darko sheni mitzat sichlo v'hu bocher hayasher. So the level of the person who can think about it and say this is the right way, and there's a person who doesn't even think about it. He knows this is right for me. I don't need to, right? I don't need external justification. So Yaakov, who's the ishtam, he's the person who I know Rachel's the right girl for me. I don't need to think about it. I don't need to dwell about it. I have to work for 7 years. I worked for 7 years. But he's manipulating you. Lavan is manipulating me. Joke's on him at the end of the day, right? I'm not living in a world where I'm trying to manipulate the world, because then I'm external to it. Then yicharet min haaretz, the land will throw me out. And the Torah is full of this. The land will throw you out, cast you out, because you're trying to manipulate it.
How does that manifest today? Like, how would the land throwing you out, what would that look like? Because I agree, I just like, I'm trying to understand, like...
Are we trying to understand technology better in order to better our lives? Are we trying to have technology so we can control? Do I want to know? Do I have satellites out there so I can control so I can know the weather, so I can prepare, so I can be part of the fabric of the world? Or do I have satellites there so I can control the weather and be able to know how to outsmart the world? Right? Is it about being part of? Right. And at the end of the day, science, it seems like a lot of the scientists out there are really trying to manipulate the world, right? So do I create Facebook so I can foster relationships better, or so I can make relationships more shallow and I can control my relationships the way I want them to without having to be invested in them, right? What am I trying to do? Am I trying to be real, or am I trying to be popular, right?
It's like one of the things that you only realize, like, it's, I don't know, I have a hard time explaining why you do, like, or sometimes I have a hard time explaining, like, why you do, like, the right thing versus the expedient thing. You just know. I don't know. It's just like, you just know.
So is the Dvar Torah supposed to be,
right?
Are you trying to, when you say Dvar Torah, are you trying to be popular?
Right.
and you're quoting the today in the news, there was a conversation about this, right?
But what if you are not supposed to give a door to oral?
No, the question. What's the tachlis? Tachlis is what's real. What's real? What's real? No, don't say because it's popular. Say because it's real for you, right? And I don't try to talk about physics while I'm learning Torah because I'm trying to be. Oh, I'm in college, so let me show how my knowledge of spooky action in the distance. Let me drop that mic. No, because I feel like it's really genuine to what we're learning.
Right?
Are you trying to manipulate the world? Right? Because if you're trying to manipulate science, the joke's on you. So we thought, oh, we're going to take atoms and we're going to make atomic bombs. And what happened? We realized that we didn't even know anything about atomics, about atoms. Forget about an atom bomb, a nitrogen bomb. Right? Forget about that. You didn't even know the nucleus. You thought you figured it out. Right? So at the end of the day, if you're trying to manipulate the world, so yikaretu. Right? So all these people who created all these great innovations, where are they today? Right? Right. Why do we have the Nobel Prize? Why do we have the Nobel Prize? Who created? What did I think his name is Charles Nobel invent? C4.
Did he get a Nobel Prize?
And everybody hated him. So he took all the money that he made, and created a Nobel Prize in order to make the world better, because he didn't realize what C4 was going to do when he created it. Okay? How destructive it's going to be. But the question is: are you trying to further become part of the land, or are you trying to manipulate it? Are you Esav who's hunting, and therefore you're hunting your father, and you're hunting everything, and everything for you is a catch? Everything for you is how can I control it? Are you, as we saw at the end of last chapter of Nativa Osher, are you Alexander the Great who's constantly trying to conquer, and a conquest, and everything for you is conquering, and everything for you is owning and ownership? Are you trying to be part of existence? Are you trying to be Tamim Tiyei Mashem Elokecha? Are you trying to just be part of this journey of the unfolding of God? Or are you trying to own things through wearing the hat of rabbi? Are you trying to, right? You don't need to listen because I'm a rabbi. I really hope you don't listen to what I say because I'm a rabbi. That'd be really bad, right? Because that's just a levush, that's just a garment. Rabbi is a garment, right? That's why I try very much to not dress like a rabbi, so I don't get lost in that garment.
How do you relate to people who respect people because of their title? And not because, like what you just said, like they'll say, oh, well, this guy's a rabbi and he knows this, that, and the other. And then, can I deepen the question a tiny bit just to make it more personal? Like people will say, well, like the Chachamim said whatever, because the Chachamim said it, or Rabbi X said it, therefore, because, you know, he has credibility, therefore, you know, the opinion is right.
So I'll tell you.
You should argue with ideas, not
people. I'll tell you. You know, my sister said, my daughter said this week, she said, I'm going to be a rabbi. So then I'll say whatever I want and you have to do it. Right? So that's
true.
It's easy
to live like that.
Right. So, but then what happens when it doesn't work for you?
The moment it doesn't work.
Then you find a rabbi that works for you, right? Then you're shopping. And you go rabbi shopping. But I think the truth is not what the rabbi said and I just take it, but because of what the rabbi said, now I want to understand further, because if somebody that I respect said X, I have to understand it, right? I don't know if you are following Israel politics, but one of the people that is the most respected right-wing professors, his name is Mordechai Kedar. Mordechai Kedar, I don't know if you ever heard of Mordechai Kedar. He's on Al Jazeera, he's on all the news, he's in one of the most elite intelligent units in the army. He's on the news weekly, like arguing, debating. And then last week, 2 weeks ago, he said, I don't know why we keep parading around Rabin's murder when Yigal Amir allegedly killed him. And the whole media went crazy. Like, this is a guy who, like, runs a department in Bar-Ilan. He's on the news all the time. He wrote books. He's, like, he's not one of those cuckoos who believes in conspiracy theories. And yet he's saying this allegedly happened, right? So because Mordechai Kedar said allegedly Yigal Amir killed Rabin, doesn't mean that I'm automatically saying that this is a whole hoax. But if he's known to be a very smart, thought-out person, whenever he says anything, he can back it up with thousands of millions of proofs. Then you got to take it seriously. I'm not jumping on the bandwagon of Yigal Amir didn't kill Rabin. I am saying, if he said it, then I need to further think about it.
Then how do you reconcile that with what you just said before, which is that you shouldn't listen to people just because they're a rabbi?
I'm not. But I'm saying if this is a credible source, then I have to take, I have to really look into it.
Right, but the credible, right? the credible source is tied up into the rabbi. So if someone says, oh, are you a rabbi?
And yeah, no, but the credible, he's a credible source because he's a rabbi, right? So I'm not saying that I'm listening to Mordechai Kedar because he did not study criminology. He did not study the case. He's not a police officer, right? He's not a person that is credible to say, right? But he's a wise, he's credible enough to say, to be known as a person who doesn't just jump on a bandwagon, right? So the rabbi, Rabbi so-and-so, Rabbi Steve Jobs, right? He's not credible enough to tell me, okay, he knows my life, so now I have to throw out all my dishes and buy new dishes, okay? But he's credible enough to say that if he said this, this is not out of thin air. So I have to validate that that's what he said, what he meant, and then I have to understand why such a rabbi would say such a thing.
So then having the title rabbi is important because it lends you credibility.
Yeah, but not every person who has a title rabbi means that he has credibility.
So how do you do,
right? So every anti-Israel professor is still a professor. He's a credible guy in physics. And that's what happens to all these college students. They come, they hear this is a professor, he's a credible source, and he knows physics, and yet he's saying Israel's apartheid. So I believe it.
If Dr. whatever his face is, Inbar, what's his name?
Right, Mordechai Kedar.
Mordechai Kedar says something and says, okay, he's a professor. So there are plenty of professors that are saying stupid things that, right, I pay attention to because they're idiots. Right. So why would I pay attention to Kedar?
No, I pay attention because I listen to what he says about everything else, and I think that he's very, very knowledgeable.
So it's only applicable if you really listen and follow the person's opinion across time. So if there's Rabbi X that says, oh, this crazy thing, and I'm not of that, like, I don't follow this guy, I'm not a follower of his, then, like, do I have to pay attention to his thing, or can I argue with his idea? And I say, no, that idea is stupid.
So you can argue. But if we're talking about chachamim, which means that any rabbi that you are, let's assume there is one rabbi at least that you are respective of, and that rabbi is respective of him,
right,
then there's more credibility here, right? So what's the difference between a posek?
Sure, there's somebody you could find that knows that professor, and so like you run into the same problem.
Okay. Yeah. So in order to not get sidetracked too much, I'll just explain. The idea is like this, okay? First of all, when you're talking about credibility of sources, okay? So the idea is like this. We don't follow a rabbi because he has a title rabbi, okay? Also, the title rabbi is not a title rabbi, right? There's also in Chazal, we have a hierarchy between a Rav, a Rebbe, right? A Rabban, a Nasi, right? Certain people have different criteria. A person who has he's a posek can say certain things. Ramosha Feinstein says something, and the fact that Yonatan Hirschman says something, who cares? Ramosha Feinstein is he's a posek. He's credible, his Torah and knowledge is in all facets, and all the rabbis who have wisdom have corroborated that he is a source, right? Now, if some Rabbi Cohen says something, I don't know who he is. In fact, he has a rabbi, and in fact, he got ordained by who knows what smicha program, doesn't mean much, right? Okay, so, you know, the famous guy in the shuk is selling shawarma, and somebody asks him, is there kashers? He goes, no kashrus, but Baba Sali. He says, okay, if the Baba Sali was selling, I wouldn't ask. Right? So there's a credibility of it. If the Baba Sali is selling shawarma,
like, I'd rather you on the wall.
Yeah, they're fine, right? But if the Baba Sali is selling shawarma, I'm not asking.
It's just OCD, I think.
Right? But if Mr. Cohen's, right? So if Mr. Cohen has the title rabbi, it doesn't really help me that he has a picture of the Baba Sali or his smicha on his wall. Really matters is the conversation that's to be had, right? So going back to this whole conversation, going back to the root of the conversation, is the person who's tamim is not a person who's trying to think, this rabbi, this not this rabbi, do I need validation? The tamim just goes with what he believes is true, okay? And he's honest enough with himself to also say, I don't know enough to make this decision. And then he becomes a yashar, right? He's saying, okay, in this regard, I don't know enough, so I need to now know, and then I'm still going with the simplicity of being straightforward and not trying to go around this.
So you fluctuate, right, between tamim and yashar.
Right.
Well, tamim is obviously the higher idea,
but
right? Because intuitively, you should know everything, right? Because tamim tiyem Hashem lokecha, right? You are promised that you are tamim,
right?
Right? So and the only reason you're not tamim in everything is because, you know, you've been told to overthink things, right? And how do I know she's the one, right? And when you love her enough to not care anymore, then she's the one. Right?
But then
that's when she's the one.
But then let's say in a yashar, like with regards to relationships, in a yashar perspective, like you have all the reasons why you like her, and obviously love's not about reasons, but you have all those reasons, but
right,
yet you still aren't in,
right,
a capacity to right, feel the tamim.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, you have to have some, be so mechamboth, and you hope that...
Yeah, for sure. That's why in Shlomo Melech, they're always brought together. That's what the Maral is saying. But there's still a difference. The tamim, it's internal knowing. Yeah. But, and the yashar, it's internalizing.
Right, but this is like an oversimplification. Right? Obviously, I think everyone agrees that. I'm not like arguing that.
Yeah, but going back, if we just go to the scientific realm for a second, intuition, right?
Sure.
Doesn't come up on a CAT scan.
Okay.
Can't find your brain intuitively deciding something, right? There's no CAT scan for intuition. And yet, we know it exists because people do things intuitively. People have a feeling and they go about it.
Just to play devil's advocate, there's so much in marketing and behavioral, like behavioral science, behavioral economics, that shows that you can prime someone to have an intuition about a guess, even. Like, if I say the word, like if I ask you, like, you know, how many people are there in the world?
All right. 10 million.
Okay. 10 million? Okay. You're just trying to be
all right. Fine.
My point is, then I ask, oh, how many, like, you know, how many beads are in this cup? You're going to like, statistically...
Okay. Right. No, like so I understand, but I think that's part of the problem that we don't have tamimim anymore, right?
I agree.
Right? Where are all the tamimim, right?
Yeah.
But I'm saying that there's in a certain way there's so much that you know you don't have to be told, you don't have to guess. Now the question is, now that why would people overestimate? Because I'm trying to impress you, right? You told me a million people, is that 10 people in the world? You know. 20 billion, okay? How many beads are in this cup? 100, right? Even though there's only 20. Why? Because I'm trying to, right? But if I don't care to be wrong, then I would say, how many beads are in this cup? 26? 25? I don't know. Maybe 30, right? But if I'm tamim,
it's like a
you
character
can't,
trait.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying you can't,
subconscious.
You can't probe a tamim. That's what I'm saying. You can't manipulate somebody who doesn't believe in manipulation. I can only manipulate you because we're all playing this game of trying to impress people.
Or you can say, right? You can't manipulate someone if he doesn't care how he compares to other people.
Yeah.
Fine.
Fine. So if you ask, give this example. You do the same example to Nerv Nevinsel, it's not going to work. Right? You ask him how many people are in the world, he's either going to say, I don't know. Or he's going to say, I saw in a study that there are X. How many are in this beads? I don't know, but I would assume that from the
interrupting to say that it's clear if you
want to
go
to that, right? So a person simple like Rav Nevinsel, you're not gonna be able to do this in, right? Because he's not trying to impress people when he says halachically he thinks this is the answer. But we live in a
he's not trying to impress people. Unfortunately, I think we're bombarded. We're bombarded with people who
right.
we think we know who are so many chalav,
right.
and then
right.
you hear such tragic and terrible things.
100%, 100%, 100%, 100%,
gives away
100%, right. And then there are certain
and
people that,
the...
for sure. But there are certain people that, and that also, right, fine. And the Maharal says, you can't take about tamim about another person, right? You can't. And if you ask him Nevinsel, if he's tamim, he's going to say, no, I want to be, right? But in a deep way, the tamimus is about, it's about me trying to be part of the world. Right? And not try to see how the world belongs to me or what I can get out of the world.
Right.
So that's why we have a whole series on this, Bezer Hashem.